Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things Town, and hope you're all having a good week. I'm sure you're still buzzing from Friday night as Ipswich Town put in a five-star performance, and hopefully we're going to bring you a five-star show to get you over on the hump of the week. And Town, of course, heading to Blackburn Rovers this weekend. I'm joined by two fine gentlemen in Kieran, aka K-Dog, all the way from Wales, and Callum, who is the stat man and all that sort of stuff, and also the Strike KOA Live champion. And there's potential of KOA Live 3 in the book, so get ready for that, ladies and gentlemen. But if you're listening to this after the show, we go live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So join us on the YouTubes, on the Facebooks. But hope you enjoy this listening pleasure on your run, your drive, whatever you're doing. But yeah, make sure to join us live as we are right now. Let's bring in the boys. Let's start with you, K-Dog. Just realised we've got two Ks joining me. But Kieran, how are you, my friend, all the way in Wales? Is it raining there?
It is, Ross. Yes. Cheers, mate. Good to be here. Yeah, I'm doing all right. It is raining. It's been horrific weather all day here, as it always tends to be. Yeah, no, I'm feeling all right. Finally got the first wind up when I'm about, which feels a bit more positive outlook, doesn't it? Rather than sitting here talking about another defeat or another draw. It's nice, isn't it? Back on track.
Indeed, my friend. Yeah, it's been raining in Suffolk as well, so don't worry. It's not just Wales. It's been raining in Suffolk. Callum, I'm sure you're nodding your head because you know Ipswich has been raining cats and dogs. But how's things are you?
Yeah, all good, other than the miserable weather. Still quite buoyed from last Friday night, to be honest, even five days on. So, yeah, it makes the start of the week a lot more tolerable when it's been a good weekend.
Indeed, very much so. And yeah, we're now looking forward to a trip to Lancashire, and we're going to discuss many different things on the show. I'm going to start with Robert here. Good evening, lads. Hope you're well. I'm just going to social us going live, and hopefully more of you guys will join us on this Wednesday night. But yeah, boys, we don't talk too much about Sheffield United because we covered that mainly on the flagship show. But when you see a 5-0 win, you want us to talk about it as much as you can before, obviously, their next game. But yeah, K-Dog, my friends, your standout moment from that game. Obviously, there's many talking points. Jaden Fijian, a hat-trick hero and all that. A first home win in 2025 in the league. A clean sheet for Alex Palmer. But for you, what's your big standout moment for that game?
Is it too obvious to say Fijian's hat-trick? I think the standout moment for me was his second goal, was the second goal, because it changed the tide of the game completely. And I was watching it. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the game Friday night. A bit difficult to make it all the way up after work. But I was watching it on TV. And I think every touch you take, you think he's taken too many. He's gone too far. He's done too much. Oh, he's taken too many touches. Oh, no, he's absolutely leathered it beyond Michael Cooper. And for me, that was the moment where I thought, Fijian has hit stride. We've hit stride, and it turned the game. And yeah, that's it for me. It was such a really well taken goal, and he's done so well to almost recover from almost taking it away from himself.
Yeah, and obviously a player with not much confidence. Callum, you were there in the press box, my friend. I'm sure it's always interesting when you're a big Town fan, but you're doing a report and business there. But I'm sure that was an enjoyable experience watching from that view. And yeah, your standout moment from the game, my friend.
Yeah, it was. Makes a change from all the non-winning moments that we've had recently at Portman Road. I did actually also have Fijian's second goal written down as the maybe not the standout moment. The standout moment, I think, has got to be when Fijian got the hat-trick, because you felt like that was the moment where that really was his night by that point, and kind of we were running away with it, and it was going to be kind of the perfect night at that point. But I think the second goal was the most important moment in the game, because even though in the first half was actually quite even, even though it was one, the whole time it's 1-0, you're always only a moment away from the game turning. And that second goal, Sheffield United never looked like the sort of side that would ever come back from two goals behind in that game. So when that second goal went in, you always felt a lot more calm, a lot more kind of optimistic that today was finally going to be the day that we got the home hoodoo out of the way. So I think I'll probably go for the second goal as the most important moment, but certainly the standout point in terms of what the single best moment of the game was seeing Jaden Philogene wheel away after netting his hat trick, which I don't think anyone was expecting him to get a hat trick. I did think he was going to have a good game, I've got to say that, but I wasn't expecting three goals.
Yeah, because I remember you putting in our group chat, like, yeah, this could be Jaden Philogene's night. And, well, my friend, I think we're going to ask you for lottery numbers now and everything else, pretty much. But, yeah, it was, for me, just it's very rare to see a player score a hat-trick, especially in Ipswich Town history, because last person to do it was obviously Connor Chaplin back in the League One days against Cholton. We've had, obviously, Lee Evans against Doncaster, Darryl Murphy against Rotherham, Grant Ward debut hat trick. That is probably the best way, you know, to make your first appearance for the club, score a hat trick. But yeah, there's a good piece that good old Stuart Watson's done on our website, hat tricks in the last century for Ipswich Town. So check that out if you haven't already. But yeah, K-Dog, we've got a question here from Martin to sort of segue into looking ahead and stuff like that. And he went, the question is, do we have the dribbling and passing ammunition to combat a low block? Very few teams will attempt to play like the Blades did. Of course, Ruben Sedes is gone and Chris Wilder's back at Sheffield United. So, they were not very good, were they? But, yeah, we won't be playing like teams like Sheffield United week in, week out. You know, we've played teams like Preston, Derby, who, they just defend for their lives, and we're definitely Preston. Blackburn could be similar in a way. But, yeah, do you think we do have that dribbling and passing ammunition to combat that low block?
If you'd have asked me a week ago, I'd have told you no. I'd have said no, I don't think we do. Because I think low blocks, teams that sit in and don't play football, have always, since McKenna's been at the club, have been his Achilles heel a little bit. We've always struggled, even in League One. I can rattle a handful. Lincoln, Morecambe. Fleetwood, sorry, a small northern fishing town. Games like that where we had, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but we'd have like 15, 20 shots a game and we were getting 0-0, 1-1s. We couldn't break it down. And I just didn't think, perhaps it's just the way the team hadn't gelled yet, it hadn't been finished yet. I didn't think we had that. But actually and we're going to come on to looking at the likes of Furlong and, you know, the debutants going forward. But having seen what I saw on Friday night, Clark with confidence, Philogene with confidence, with his ability to drive and things. Now we've got players who can take Jens, Kuste, players that we've got that will take people on, will beat their man. And Nunes looks like he can pick up a beautiful pass out of it. I think, yeah, we've now got the makings of team and players that can put those passes together, can move the ball quickly and can take on and beat players. Because if you've got someone like Clark or Philogene who's going to attract two or three players in a low block, take them out, beat them, and then can find the pass, open up the pockets of space that, you know, Chaplin, or, you know, he's out on loan now, but used to find. We'll have some Schmodix, a natural finisher, find those pockets of space. I think it's something that, yeah, I think we will be able to do comfortably, you know, and start to assert ourselves where we should be.
Yeah, very much so. And Callum, I'm sure this will give a lot of the players, the attacking players, confidence, definitely Jaden Philogene, as Chris mentioned here as well. This will hopefully kickstart Hurst after scoring, obviously first open play goal. He scored a penalty at Birmingham and then he went and said, this is what I do. And obviously since then he's sort of struggled, missed an open, you know, goal in a sort of way against Preston. But yeah, getting that goal will give him a bit of confidence. Jack Clark, two and two now off the bench. Jaden Philogene is just going to be like a new man. Hopefully they can sort of bounce back and really, you know, back this up. That's one thing they've got to do, is back this up at Blackburn.
Yeah, especially the players that were here last season. All they've known over the last 12 months has been losing football matches. And no matter what level you're at, that's going to take its toll. And I think we've kind of seen a bit of that at the start of the season in terms of a bit of a hangover from that. George Hurst is one of those players who, I think in pre-season, we were big enough to have a solid season in front of goal. It hasn't worked out quite so well in the first few games for him. But again, that goal, you know, that's what he does best in terms of, you know, chasing after defenders and chasing things down. Michael Cooper probably should have done better for it in terms of letting it go through his legs. It was a bit of a comical goal in that sense. But there was he also had another one that was ruled out for offside, and that was a really nice finish. I think it had that stood, that was up there with the pick of the bunch with the rest of the goals in the game. Jaden Philogene obviously is someone who we've said has been devoid of any confidence since he's come in. It has to do in the world of good, scoring three goals. And Jack Clark's got two and two off the bench. Big moment against Preston. Big moment against Derby from the penalty spot right at the end. And then a nicely taken finish again for this one. So there's attacking players that kind of need that bit of energy. And like Kieran was saying, in terms of wanting those dribbly boys, as it were, to kind of take players on. They're the sort of personnel that you think have the ability to do that. Your Jack Clarks and your Jaden Philogene. So having them with a bit more confidence and firing on all cylinders is going to be far better for when we do need to break teams down. We're in a low block, which is what you were touching on earlier.
Yeah, very much so. And let's talk then, boys, as we wrap up the Sheffield United games. We won't cover too much on this show. But first impressions on Free Davidson's on the game against Sheffield United, because Darnell Furlong, did he said Furlong again? Furlong obviously made his full debut, had a solid performance. Sindre Wale-Egeli, I'll get there in the end, and also Marcelino Nunes made their debuts off the bench. K-Dog, out of the three, who would you want to focus on for you know, in terms of the one who stood out or just your first impressions on?
They all stood out to me in different ways. That's a bit of a cop-out answer, isn't it? I was very impressed with Nunes. You can see that he is a classy player. He looks so calm on the ball. He looked like he had more time than anyone else. He genuinely looked like one of those midfielders that the game slows down around him. He's got such a beautiful touch, such great control. And for me, it just showed... It was something you could see why we'd gone out and signed him, because it's a big call, isn't it? A controversial call to go up the road, knock on their door, and go, "We'll have him. We'll have your best player," because it either works out brilliantly, as it seems to be at the moment. You know, we've made the big fuss, we've put the I don't know how to describe it, sort of housery out there from the club and from the fans of him signing. We've got the wink and the badge tap from the announcement, and the little clip they put out after the game where Vamanos Tractor Boys, or whatever, well, I couldn't quite make out what you were saying, something on those lines. But it can all go horribly wrong if he doesn't then back it up. But what the glimpse, the half an hour I saw of him on Friday, I think he is going to back it up. He's going to get a lot of minutes, because I don't think Kayuste's got it in him to do Saturday, Tuesday. We could barely get 38 games out of him in a very... I know the Premier League's more intense in the physicality of the game, but there's a lot less games, a lot more space between them. To me, it was something different. And then the free kick, inches away from being absolutely spectacular. What a way to announce yourself at Portman Road that would have been. So he's all teed up to do it again in 2 weeks' time.
In front of them, yeah. Definitely, yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, and yeah, we shall see what happens. Get you involved in this, Callum, as well. A few good comments as well from the viewers. But yeah, Furlong was just solid, wasn't he, at right back? I think he will be, I think that's a player that Kieran McKenna has really liked, and he'll be a different right back to what we have already. And Sindre Wale-Egeli, I'll get there. I know he's going to be a player that you're going to like. I don't know why. I just think because he's, you know, European, and he's just got that. He's a unit as well. I think you're probably a fan favourite already. But yeah, those two, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they were. I mean, out of the three, I think the pick of the bunch for me was Darnell Furlong. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I really did. I think in a strange sort of way, I think it's a little bit disappointing for him that Jaden Philogene had scored a hat-trick. Because I think on any other day, the performance he put in, I thought was a man-of-the-match performance. I thought he was terrific. I think he's clearly... such an experienced player at this level, knows exactly what it's all about. A proper kind of right back. Like, I know there's been a lot of talk about us having quite a lot of right backs. Ben Johnson clearly isn't fancied, and he's a bit more attacking and defensively not quite so good. Harry Clark, similar. Ashley Young has obviously comes with bags of experience. but maybe not quite as physical anymore and a bit more versatile. Furlong is a proper right back. He's a beast. The amount of times I saw him win the ball in the air as well, which is so important when you've got teams pumping long diagonals across to have your fullbacks in that kind of vein. Yeah, I thought he was absolutely brilliant, bombing it up and down. And yeah, I think he'll be a real asset going forward. I think he'll almost certainly be the man who's going to start the majority of games in that position, I think, going forward. And we haven't even seen his long throw yet, which I know people are excited to see. And we didn't even get to see that in action. And that's probably his biggest trait. So, yeah, I was very impressed with Furlong.
Yeah. And obviously a very solid Championship player, the amount of games he's played. And, you know, when we last went to West Brom, he was obviously scored in that game and was just so solid and we couldn't get through them. So, yeah, he's a really good, shrewd bit of business. And, yeah, went a bit, I wouldn't say people underwhelmed by it, but like, do we really need him? But I've been really impressed by him. And, yeah, I'm sure he's going to be very good going forwards. One question here, K-Dog. This is a long name. I'm just going to say Deco, whatever. But you went, will most of our goals come from the three behind Hurst? Last season, those three did not score many. And obviously, we've sort of recruited a little bit more in that those positions as well. But yeah, do you think that will be the case? And that has been in League One times, in the Championship. It was like Connor Chapman, Nathan Broadhead were scoring the goals. Hopefully this time around, it'll be Jaden Philogene, Jack Clark. Hopefully, you know, Sammy Smolik will, you know, stay fit as well. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I think they probably will, partly because that's how we play anyway. As you pointed out, in the League One, the Championship season, let's not take away from it, in the League One season, we had 20 goal a season striker, number 9 in Ferreira Dapo, who scored 20 goals in all competitions. But our leading goal scorer in that season was Connor Chapman, number 10. In the Championship season, our leading goal scorer again, Connor Chapman, number 10. A joint with Nathan Broadhead, inside 10. You think of the players that we've got now. Achiuwa Ratapong, former golden boot. Sammy Smolik, former golden boot. Jack Clark, who on his day, and if he finds a groove, it shows what he can do at Sunderland. Jaden Philogene, again, got a hat trick. You got Sindra. I'm not going to do his full name. I'm not going to attempt it. But you know, there's five players there who on themselves are goal scorers and have potential to be goal scorers, and two who have proven themselves to be very, very good Championship goal scorers. So, yeah, I think Hurst will obviously pick goals up. I don't think he's going to get the 20 goals that was predicted by your colleagues, because I just don't think we put enough goals through the number 9. It's not what we want the 9 to do. But yeah, I do think we will score a lot of goals, and I do think a lot of them will come, and Hurst will be involved in a lot of them, whether directly through an assist or through the creative play. But I do think a lot of them will come. And now my hot take on this is that we're going to see a lot more goals from midfield this year. One of the things we haven't seen in the last couple of seasons is a midfielder to really score goals. Like Taylor would chip in with the odd one. I know Clayustay scored one of the goals of the season last year. But I think, yeah, either between Nunez, Matasiwa and Clayustay, we're going to see 10 to 12 goals from midfield. Ooh, from open play.
All right, clip this up. We'll go back to this at the end of the season and see how many goals. You know, Sam Morsey's chipped into a few, didn't he, last year as well?
Yeah.
He scored two or something like that. But yeah, Callum, get your thoughts on this as well. I'm sure you echo what K-Dog said. Yeah, we've got a very good, you know, a lot of money spent as well on that front, you know, behind the striker, other three behind. So, yeah, they need to be doing their jobs, you know, being that attacking threat and scoring goals.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in that forward line. I'm intrigued by Kieran's 10 to 12 goals from open play from midfield. That's a bold shout. I mean, we've seen, I think out of those three, Nunez is kind of the biggest goal scorer previously out of those three. So, you know, a few of them wouldn't go amiss, especially in a certain fixture in a few weeks would be great. But in terms of the three behind the striker, like you touched on, Achiuwa Ratapong is a golden boot winner. Sammy Smolik is a golden boot winner. The Norwegian lad has maybe not scored loads of goals at club level, but when he's played at international level, in terms of the youth teams, no one comes close to him, and that includes a certain Erling Haaland. So, you know, he knows where the net is, which you can translate it across different levels. You know, goal scoring is a thing that you either have or you don't, I believe, and he clearly does have it. So there's reason to believe why he can chip in with a few goals. I don't think he's scared to shoot either. It was his kind of shot from distance that led to the fifth goal on Friday. So I think we'll see a lot of efforts from range from him, and clearly he can find the net. But yeah, I think the worry for me going into the season in terms of the goals from behind the striker was the likes of Jaden Philogene and Jack Clark, how much they can chip in. And it's those two that have chipped in kind of the most recently, Jaden last week and Jack Clark in the last two. So yeah, if they can both maybe get into double digits, Hurst, assuming he plays, you know, the majority of the games up front, he'll get well into double digits. You'd like to think. He's on two at the minute, obviously. I think there'll be more than enough goals that will be chipped in by enough of the team that we shouldn't have a problem in that sense, because there's too much talent to not be scoring goals.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, we've got a Shark as well. Do not forget Ivan Azon, who I'm sure will come off the bench and cause havoc for the defenders of the opposition. And I think he'll score a few poachers finish, as we shall see. But yeah, boys, shall we segue then onto... I just want to sort of bring you in as a fan as well, and your sort of your favourite game, because I'm sure there's a lot of people, maybe some dads or parents or whatever, were taking their kid to their first game on Friday night. 5-0 win. What a way to have your first game. And yeah, you probably look back and go, yeah, that was my first game, my favourite game. They're not like that every week. But K-Dog, what's your sort of favourite game that comes to mind? Because yeah, 5-0 up is always going to be up there, and someone scoring a hat-trick. But that, you know, that's a question for everyone as well watching. Your favourite game ever, just personal to you, anything that, you know, sticks to your mind?
So Leeds away in 2004-05. I was a mascot, so that sticks out as a bit of a personal favourite. A derby away at Pride Park, and this would have been early 2000s. They let me go on the pitch and score some penalties at half-time. Sticks out in my mind. Things you remember as a kid. The Pablo Cunhago, Coventry win in the, you know, all the goals in extra time stands out. I've seen us beat Norwich at Carrow Road, which says some people watching this apparently wouldn't believe that happens, but Derby wins. But for me, I think my favourite personal moment was the 6-0 against Exeter. The promotion from League One. All I'd known in my life as an Ipswich fan is I discovered football in Ipswich the first year that we were back in Division One after being relegated from the Premier League in the early 2000s. So all I remember is Newley's not quite... disappointments and relegation. That's all my entire fandom had been. We'd been good, but not quite good enough. Then we were mediocre. Then we got relegated, and then we were mediocre again until we weren't. And to experience that moment, that first real success, that first moment of real success, the bus welcome, the whole thing of the day, the celebrations afterwards, to do it alongside my dad, who's the reason that I'm into football at all. That was a really, really special moment for me. And it seems really obvious. Oh, yeah, you know, your first promotion is your best moment. But I'd gone through a lot in my personal life at that time as well. And just that moment, that emotion, that final, like, this is what it is all about for me. Finally get to enjoy some modicum of success and to have my dad alongside me to do it. Yeah, that's quite a special moment for me.
Oh, making me, you know, God, stop it, K-Dog, stop it. But no, thanks, you know, great memories there. And yeah, that was a good day, because even for me, you know, just, you know, once again, I'm sort of similar-ish age, and I've only seen just rubbish and relegations and stuff and playoffs defeats and all that jazz. But no, love that, K-Dog. Callum, what stands out for you? Wasn't your first game against Coventry, that Pablo Cunhago game? Wasn't it your first game?
It was, well remembered, Ross. That one, for being the first game, certainly not one that kind of stands out in my memory, because I was quite young for that one. But all of my favourite games, as I think most people of my age would be have been from the last kind of 3 years or so. But the one I'm going to pick out was actually the same week as the one that Kira mentioned, the Exeter 6-0. But I'm going to go for the 3-0 win at Barnsley earlier on in that week on the Tuesday night. That was... There's something about away games. I mean, Portman Road, I absolutely love going to Portman Road. And the Exeter and Huddersfield games were so special to win kind of promotion at home in the manner that we did. But there's something about away games, especially under the lights. And I think the atmosphere in the away end that night was, I've never known an away atmosphere like it, in terms of the whole stand was rocking. What was it, about 5,000? And it's such a good venue, such a good ground where you can really get a proper away atmosphere going as well. So it was a really good kind of setting for that. Barnsley were a decent side as well at the time, and we turned up and absolutely steamrolled them. You know, we were on fire. We'd won 13 of the last 14 or something like that. And we went there and absolutely steamrolled them. And when George Hurst put us 2-0 up just before half time, that was kind of the moment where you knew we were going to go on and win that game. And once we won that game, you knew we were going to go on and win promotion. And at that point, I'd never experienced promotion as an Ipswich Town fan before. It was my first kind of proper taste of success. So I was kind of relishing in the moment of winning football matches consistently and kind of being a class above for the first time that I'd ever seen. So yeah, that Exeter game, sorry, that Barnsley game was a pretty special one. And then it turned into the Exeter game only a few days later. So it was a pretty whirlwind of a...
Yeah, it was incredible. And I'm so happy we had this platform as well to sort of capture it all. You know, game day after Barnsley was amazing, even Exeter. And obviously we had the championship season, even in the Premier League, even though we were losing every week, it's still great to have that. We had this community talking about the games and just rocking up to different stadiums we just thought we'd never, ever get to go to. You think, oh, maybe go to a cup game here and there. But to actually go there and say, no, we're equals in the Premier League, and obviously lose the game. But still, it was experience for us. But yeah,
we won at Spurs, Ross. We won at Spurs.
We did. Still unbeaten at the new Spurs Stadium. So there we go. But no, great memories, boys. But yeah, the Barnsley night, I was just... What I loved most about it is I was the other end of the pitch, or I was in the right end of the pitch where George Hurst scored. But when he scored, I was obviously just watching the away and go mental. I just know so many different people in that stand as well. So I was just thinking of them straight away. And yeah, those nights, obviously Coventry away was incredible because we sort of knew that was today. Sometimes away games are just so much different, aren't they? But obviously it's nice to win promotion at Portland Road because it was pitch invasions and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, boys, great memories, great favourite games and all that jazz. I now want to ask you. Yep, K-Dog.
What was your favourite moment, Ross?
Ooh,
your favourite game.
My favourite
game. You asked us, but I want to know from you.
Ooh. There's a few, like the Arsenal game in 2011 was up there for me because I had a few friends who are Arsenal fans. So obviously they were like, you know, I was able to pick on them after the game. I know we obviously went on to lose the second leg, but that was just a... Once again, we never had like teams like that coming to Portman Road, you know, for a very long time. And for us to actually win was incredible. And obviously during that period, we had a caretaker manager in charge. We just lost 7-0 against Chelsea in the FA Cup. And yeah, just Thomas Priskin scoring that goal, which is amazing. So that probably just under lights as well. That was great. But yeah, there's so many different ones, really. But there's a lot to pick out from League One, the Championship. I'm trying to think from my childhood, really. I'm trying to think that stands out. I just love late winners. Late winners are up there. Like the Pablo Canago one always sticks in my mind. I was in the away end for Richard Chaplow, late winner. Noel Hunt at Cheltenham as well was there. Obviously, that was during that playoff season where Mick McCarthy did wonders, you know, on a small budget, and we somehow got into playoffs. But yeah, I can mention loads, but that's a whole different podcast. One of these days, we'll have to do a massive podcast on talking about favourite moments, favourite games and all that stuff. That's probably... pre-season sort of stuff, off-season stuff. So obviously I'll see Paul Clark here. Quick question or comment, really. Spurs away was one of my all-time faves. The steward said they wish we could visit them every week. Maybe because we were Ipswich fans were very nice. I'm sure, yeah, Spurs probably wouldn't want us to go there every week because, oh yeah, we got a good win there. So, but yeah, just trying to look back now, trying to think. I've been to so many games, Kieran. Been too many games. It's hard to sort of pick out, but yeah, maybe that's a feature in the future. But yeah, and Robert and Chelsea last season. Yeah, Chelsea last season was nice to win at Portland Road. But thankfully, we finally got a win. That sort of segues nicely, boys, onto your one word to sum up the first five games, the opening five games. Obviously, we're not in a position we thought we were going to be in, because I wouldn't say we're going to win all five, but we were, you know, thinking, oh, we should be in a good position. Where are we right now? We're 14th in the table. We've only lost one game, to be fair. We've drawn three, won one, and I've obviously lost one. So how many points is that? So that is three, that's 6 points, isn't it? 6 points? Yeah. Quick maths. Well done, Ross. But yeah, K-Dog, we probably aren't in the position we thought we were going to be in, but we have had a tough start. You know, Birmingham was always going to be difficult. Southampton, newly relegated, fellow relegated team. Preston is always our place to go. Derby, you know, you would hope we would have won that game, but we didn't. We had to obviously score a late goal to get an equaliser. And then obviously beating Sheffield United was very good indeed. But yeah, what's your sort of one word to sum up so far?
What I had written down was underwhelming. Because you take the recency bias of beating one of the worst football teams I've ever seen at Portman Road, 5-0. The start of the season hadn't been that great. Okay, take a point away at Birmingham, a point at home at Southampton. But we expect, I think maybe with a little bit of arrogance, expected to win the other two games. We should have beaten Derby, because by the time Derby came to us, they hadn't scored a goal all season, pretty much. And we shipped two to them. I know Preston have a habit of turning teams over at Deepdale. Pardon the cliche of a good, difficult place to go. They beat us there last time. They're unbeaten at home this season. They've won three of their home, well, drawn one, two, drawn one of their home games. They turned Leeds over a couple of times in the last few years. So you know, but I just feel like the performances, the team wasn't great. It was just a little bit flat, a little bit underwhelming. Then we got the Carabao Cup. Let's not, unfortunately, we can't forget that was just a poor night. So yeah, the first few games of the season, underwhelming, but it's not really one word, is it? It's been several.
It's sort of one word though, underwhelming. It's sort of like, you know, when you spell it out, it's one word. So I think, Callum, is that right?
Yeah, it is one word. I've expanded on it, which is not one word.
Yeah. No, no, it's not. It's fine. That's fine. And we've got a few more questions, actually, Callum. We've got a few people messaging in. So I thought we'll bring them up. This is from Stephen. Saw the match Friday. Was Godfrey that bad or was Jaden that good? Because, yeah, Ben Godfrey probably doesn't want to go to Portland Road again for a while. And, yeah, he's obviously had a terrible time against Spurs, Man City for us. And then, obviously, he was part of that team, like that lost 5-0. And was it the – what goal was it? Was it the Jack Clark goal? Where he defended dreadfully. Yeah. It wasn't great, was it? But yeah, thoughts on that. Godfrey, that bad, or Jaden was that good?
Yeah, let's not take anything away from Jaden. He was absolutely excellent. But I do think it's fair to say that Ben Godfrey had a bit of a stinker, didn't he? I don't think it caught anyone by surprise. Any Town fans who watched him play in a blue shirt last season will know that he's capable of those kind of performances. So it was nice to see him back at Portman Road and putting in one of those against us for a change. But yeah, Philogene was excellent, wasn't he? I think he'd have had a couple of goals regardless of which right back he came up against. And you're right, it was Jack Clark's goal that he was truly comical for, in terms of showing absolutely no strength or desire to do any sort of defending inside his 18-yard box. So yeah, not a day that I'm sure Ben Godfrey will want to look back on, and I wonder how he gets on under Chris Wilder.
Yes, very much. It's going to be interesting with Chris Wilder, because obviously Ruben Sellers have signed players, but I know they've obviously got a data-driven ownership. I'm sure a lot of the signings were just sort of signed because of different things. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Chris Wilder does there. Callum, stick with you quickly now, just to your one word. We've got a few more questions as well, Kado, we're going to bring up. From Josh Blake, who's got us two parts of a question. So we'll cover that, Josh. You're not Rory. But yeah, Callum, your one word to sum up the opening five games?
On my bit of paper, I've written down relaxed, because it's not the flying start we'd have wanted. I think it has been underwhelming. I agree with with Kieran in that sense. But the performances, I think, have been generally okay. And especially with Friday's game being kind of the most recent of that, you feel like that we are starting to kind of click together. And I think even in the opening four games, I think the problems that we had in those, it sounds so obvious, but I think the two problems we had are the goals that we conceded were really poor goals. I felt like we really shot ourselves in the foot with some of the ones we conceded. And I didn't look at some of the goals that the opposition had scored and think, oh, they had to work really hard for that. And I think that's a far easier problem to fix in terms of, you know, centre halves or whoever it was, you know, buck your ideas up a little bit. And I think they're really preventable goals. And I don't think we'll concede that many goals this season. I'm really confident that defensively we're okay. And then going forward, we didn't create enough chances with the players that we have available. We know we can create, we know that we should be able to create more. And I think that was put to bed on Friday night in terms of the amount of chances that we created, especially in that second half. So I think we're on our way to fixing that one. And I don't really have any issues defensively. So I think with time, I think we will only get better. So relaxed is what I've gone for, because that's how I'm feeling at this stage.
Oh, don't mind that. Definitely am more relaxed after that 5-0 win. I'm sure Jubster, good old Mark Jubb, who is in Spain, Ola from Spain, this team will come. Good. So there we go. Three messages there from good old Jubster. This is from Josh Blake, though, K-Dog. I went, sorry if I already asked. I don't think it has, Josh. I've just joined. How much of the Sheffield United result was just them being poor, and how much is sign of genuine improvement? Hopefully the confidence will even so. And then I think there's a part two. But yeah, were Sheffield United that bad, or were we just that good? It's just sort of a Jadon Philogene and Ben Godfrey sort of situation again.
It's a bit of six and one half a dozen the other, isn't it? I think we were fairly evenly matched in the first half. As Callum alluded to earlier, that at 1-0, playing as we were and as players they were, you felt that if we didn't get that second goal, it could go either way. But I think having scored, when we did score the second, we really sort of put our foot on their throat, and they weren't great. They're shot of all confidence. At that point, they played like a team that weren't ever going to come back into it. But we stamped our authority and dominated the game. And that it showed signs of improvement in so much as we looked more like a team, we looked like we gelled, and we were putting together, making a team look poor and being able to create chances and score goals. So I think, yeah, Sheffield United were definitely poor, but we definitely look much better as a unit than we did a week or two ago.
Definitely. And yeah, Josh Blake went part two. Reckon the confident boost from the Sheffield United win will help them overcome some championship challenges, such as a close, scrappy game with defensive block, which we covered earlier. But yeah, Callum, I think this will give the team a lot of confidence. Even Kieran McKenna, you know, he's been a manager now that's seen a lot of defeats, especially at home. And he said in his post-match, didn't he, that there's a lot of players in his squad that hasn't experienced that sort of relief of winning in front of their home crowd.
Yeah, I think that was part of why I think the result was so big as well. It wasn't just a first win of the season, but it was the feeling of Portman Road being a happy place to go again. Because, like we were touching on earlier, you can associate places with feelings, can't you? And if you, especially as a supporter, if you're going to Portman Road every week, and you know many people will be season ticket holders and go to the home games, haven't seen us win all year. You know, it can be demoralizing when you're turning up every week and still waiting to win a game and just, you know, wondering when it's going to come. So for it to come on Friday and it to come in that fashion, I think will give everyone a lift. And I think we'll really see that in terms of the atmosphere is always great, but you've always got that spring in your step at Portman Road when the team are playing well. So I think that'll only lift the spirits. And I imagine by the time it comes around to next Saturday, we've obviously got Blackburn this week, but when we are back at Portman Road next week, that feel good factor will be there and ready to go, and Portsmouth will hopefully find themselves walking into another cauldron of noise.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, Josh, do not worry. You're very welcome. Thanks for answering both parts. But no, very good question from you, my friend. Well, boys, it's now time to have a little pause. We're going to look ahead to Blackburn very shortly. We're just going to do some predictions and just our thoughts on Blackburn, because obviously there's going to be a lot of bits and bobs. Obviously, Kieran McKenna's press conference on Thursday, so he'll give us some updates on if there's any injuries and stuff like that. But yes, it's time for the strike. K-Dog and Callum going head-to-head. Callum may have the advantage because he is the strike champion of KOA Live 2. But do not worry, K-Dog. These questions, anything can happen. You know, it depends on what I've got to offer in terms of questions. And I think, yeah, some maybe that give you the advantage, but maybe give Callum the advantage, but we shall see. But obviously, it is 5 questions plus a tiebreaker. Also, people watching, get involved. Let us know the answers. Although, K-Dog and Callum, don't look at the comment section. Just so,
Full screen now, so I can't see the chat.
So yeah, full screen, so we can do this.
Full disclosure, I didn't know you could look at the comments.
That's fine. There we go. Honestly, there, my friend. But yeah, we've got 5 questions, as I said, plus a tiebreaker, all linked to birthdays this week. And the first question is, on a former Town player back in the 2010s, Jack Ainsley, who is now a joint manager at a Suffolk non-league club, and that is the question. He turns 35 today, so happy birthday, Jack, if you're watching, if you're listening. But yes, Jack Ainsley, I think made about 8 appearances for the club, is the current joint manager at which Suffolk non-league club? Is it Felixstowe Walton United, Sudbury, or Woodbridge Town? Of course, he's a joint manager with his brother, Stuart. And if you did listen to a podcast special I did in the summer, you probably know where he was because I did chat to Stuart and Jack prior to the season. But yes, K-Dog, Callum, what do you reckon? Jack Ainsley, former defender for Ipswich Town, Felixstowe, Walton United, Sudbury or Woodbridge Town? K-Dog, who is he a joint manager of? Sudbury.
I've gone for Sudbury.
And K-Dog's gone Felixstowe. No, Callum's gone Felixstowe. Why does it call you K-Dog? Maybe it should be K-Dog as well, because you're not, it's another K. I call everyone who's going to be K-Dog. But no, it is Felixstowe, though, K-Dog, I'm sure, sort of say. So Callum does make it 1-0. And yeah, I do think Callum may have the advantage on that one, because obviously he's more local. But you never know. Question 2 is about a middle name. So middle names could be your jam. Question 2.
Spoiler alert, they're not.
They're not mine. Yeah, fair enough.
That's fine. That's what I know. Well, there we go. No one's got the advantage here. Andy Crackers Cracknell went Felixstowe Walton. So well done, my friend, for getting that right. But question 2 is on Kieran Slicker, who celebrated his birthday on Monday. He turned 23. Obviously, he was on loan at Barnet at the moment. Saved 2 penalties on the weekend against Crewe. So well done to Kieran for that. But yes, what is Kieran Slicker's middle name? Is it John, Peter, or Theodore? So Kieran, John Slicker, Kieran Peter Slicker, or Kieran Theodore Slicker. So there we go. These are the questions I bring you on the strike. Middle names or third choice goalkeepers in Ipswich Town. That's what I do. For what do you reckon, then, boys? Is Callum going to make it 2-0 or is it Peter?
I've gone for Theodore.
Theodore. Well, one of you is correct, and I'm sorry to say, K-Dog, it's Callum. It is Peter. Now, Callum, how do you know that?
I don't. I felt like if it was Theodore, I felt like I'd have spotted it or it'd rung. I just went for a 50-50 between the other two.
Fair play. Yeah, I thought John is just a typical middle name, and then I was just like thinking, I was just going through different like names. I was like, Theodore, just randomly thought of that. Actually, as I always do as well, boys, because I don't know your middle names, what are your middle names if you've got one? Because Callum, you haven't got one, have you? If I remember rightly?
We have. We were talking about this in Austria, oh, yeah. You mate.
Sorry. Somebody else I know who hasn't got one.
I've got 2, actually, and one of those is on the screen now.
John.
Yes.
The other one?
Michael.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, now I remember now. Sorry. Yes. Lots happened. I remember the commentary first game, but middle name, yeah, it probably went over me when you mentioned it. K-Dog, what's yours?
We were all very tired that day, Ross. We were talking about it after Linz. So, I'll let you off.
Very good.
Not enough alcohol in the world for you to get that on me, Ross.
Is it embarrassing? Was it like, is it Welsh?
If it was Welsh, I'd be quite happy with it. No, but it's. I'll tell you what, I'm not announcing it to the public. I'll tell you where.
Okay. That's fine. I don't mind that. Andy went Peter. He just went Peter. So he got it right as well. But he went, basically, he said, because it's the middle. Which is true. The middle answer in the questions there. So in the options. So very good, Andy. Very good indeed. Anyway, so it is Callum 2-0. But do not worry, K-Dog. It's still an opportunity for you to get back in the game. And it's a true or false question on the strike. Oh, a bit new for you. And it's on Craig Forrest, the goalkeeper from the 90s. He turns 58 on Saturday. So happy birthday to Craig for then. Now, true or false, Craig Forrest kept a clean sheet on his Ipswich Town debut against Stoke City in August 1988. And I assume none of us were born. I don't think you were born yet, K-Dog, were you? No. So there we go. So it's just a shot in the dark. But yeah, true or false, Craig Forrest kept a clean sheet on his Ipswich Town debut against Stoke City in August 1988. So the Canadian goalkeeper. What do you reckon, boys?
I've gone for true, but I have...
I also went for true, but in the sake of... just for the sake of being different, even though I have written down true, I will go for false just for...
Ooh, I don't know. Do we allow that? I don't know if I allow that. I don't know.
Well, Karen went true and then announced it, so I'll go false just to be opposite for the simple sake of...
Well, keeps him in the false. Game, doesn't it? If he stays,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's false. But if K-Dog goes and wins this now, it's sort of like, will you be asking questions, Callum? Like, are you allowing it?
He went for false before the answer was revealed. He gets the point.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So yeah,
what's I can be honest, it's not going to make any difference to the end result of this game.
You never know. But yeah, it was
a consolation goal that you.
true, but no, it was a 1-1 draw against Stoke. I'm away. Chris Kamara scored the goal for the Potters. Unbelievable, Jeff. He scored the goal. A little fun fact there for you. That's what I bring you here on the strike. Andy Crackers Cracknell went false. And he said he was there. Love that, Andy. Love that. 1988. But yeah, it's 2-1. Going into question 4. And it's a question on John Walters, who also celebrates his birthday this Saturday. He turns 42. He's actually now one of the directors of football at Stoke, I think. He's definitely got a role at Stoke, a big role there. But yeah, how many goals did John Walters score for Ipswich Town in 149 games? So get a bang on, you get double the points. Closest to the correct answer gets the point. So could K-Dog make it 2-2? Could Callum make it 3-1? Or could they both get double the points? But yeah, let us know in the comments down below your thoughts on this one. But yeah, Andy Christ Cracknell, great to know you at Stoke back in 1988. See Craig Forrest make his debut. I love that. But yeah, John Walters, loved him. Loved him as a player, John Walters. Good goal scorer, captain as well. Just wasn't a fan of Roy Keane, obviously. But yeah, well then, boys, what do you reckon? 149 games, John Walters, how many goals did he score? Callum, start with you.
I've gone for 37.
37? Okay, dog. 85! I know he's a striker.
That would be a possible ratio, wouldn't it?
I was young. I obviously remember him a lot more prolific than he was.
No disrespect to John Walters. He was definitely a good goal scorer. He scored a hat-trick against Bristol City, but that is a great ratio, 85 and 149 games. But no, he didn't score that many goals. It's 32, so Callum was very close. But it's fine, Callum.
But closer.
But K-Dog, it's 85, 149 games. That's okay. I understand as well. When I was young, when you see strikers score goals, like even if it's just one every now and then, you're like, oh, he's prolific.
You think they score a lot more than they do.
Yeah.
Because I remember him scoring a couple against us playing for Chester in the FA Cup third round, yeah. And that's why we decided to sign him.
Basically. Yeah, which is true. Andy Crackers. Cracknell went 33, and I started going in 1987. Love that, my friend. But yes, so that means Callum is winning 3-1. So, and sadly... Question 5, there's a multiple choice, so there's no way. I should have done this answer a different way around, but it is what it is. But the question 5 is on the Danish fullback with a long bloody throw that never was good. But Jonas Knudsen, who turned 32 yesterday, Tuesday, if you're listening to this on a first day of Friday. But yeah, 32. Now, he scored in Mick McCarthy's final game as Town boss. But who set him up for his goal against Barnsley? Was it Burson Salina, Jordan Spence, or Muzzy Curiel, or Mustafa Curiel? That's printed on the questionnaire, but I think we called him more Muzzy, didn't we? Curiel. So, yeah, who set him up for the goal? Jonas Knudsen. I still remember that night. That was weird because I remember being in the press box or press room, sorry, when Mick McCarthy did the famous, I'm out of here.
Slammed the desk in front of him.
Pretty much. But yeah, that was my early days of my EADT like reporting life. It was actually when I'll just go to games because I got an opportunity to go to the press box. I thought, oh, I'm just going to go to the game. But yeah, Jonas Knudsen, goal. What do you reckon, boys? The answer.
Genuine guess. Going for Spence.
I've gone for Bursan Salina. I remember the game, but I don't remember the goal. I went for Salina mainly because Carriol didn't play a lot and Jordan Spence wasn't very good. So I went for...
poor Jordan. Yeah, sadly, he wasn't that great for us, was he? Andy Crackers Cracknell has got it right. I'm going to bring up the correct answer. And it is actually Mustafa Curiel because it was actually from a corner. He was taking the corner and Knudsen headed it. So, yeah. So, no one gets it right there. But, Callum, you have won overall. Is it 3-1? You won? But there is always, as standard, a tie-breaker question. So, are you going to gamble the live strike champion?
Absolutely, I am.
Love that, my friend. Tiebreaker question is on Blackburn, and it's a question on Connor Chapman's goal at Blackburn in 2024. And now, in what minute, K-Dog, this is obviously for you, did Connor Chapman score the only goal in the win at Blackburn? And I have a feeling Callum knows it because he's writing it down straight away. And yeah, I'm sure you were there anyway. But yeah, what minute, K-Dog? If you can get it correct, you win. But then Callum's got it right as well. So I don't know how we... I may have to do a different question if he has got it right as well. But we shall see. But yeah, within the first half, Connor Chapman, what do you reckon?
I changed my answer now because you told me it's in the first half and I've written down something else.
Is it the question, yeah, England?
I don't remember.
Once again, the thing as well is there's... Some people report it differently as well. There's some like outlets may do it maybe a minute later or whatever, but this is from where I found it. I think this is actually what we put on our sort of reports. So, yeah, we shall see, though. What, right, and K-Dog, what are you going for?
27th
minute. What was the original answer?
67th. And then you say it was in the first half, so it can't be that then.
I proved that you didn't read the question when I brought it up. But it's fine. It's right there. It's fine. Right, and Callum, you wrote it down pretty quickly, so I assume you may know, but let's see.
I think I might know. I might have been misremembering another game, but I was doing a bit of my research for the game this weekend. So I was looking at kind of previous results, and it was the most recent. And I seem to remember 45 right on the stroke of half time, but I could well be remembering completely wrong.
You are completely wrong. It's the 9th minute. So there we go. It was an early so it's fine. It's fine. So you have won overall, Callum, but K-Dog, good effort. But Callum, yeah, speech as we look ahead to Blackburn this weekend. And yeah, we don't actually win that often at Ewood Park. That was a rarity winning that game. But yeah, speech, my friend.
Speech. Yes, I'm honoured again to win the strike. My first appearance on here since winning the live version. But yeah, well done to thanks to Kieran for taking part in being my opponent today. And yeah, hopefully it was 3 points for me, but hopefully it'll be 3 points for Town on Saturday.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, going to Ewood Park. And they're actually 15th. So it's 14th versus 15th in the table. They beat Watford last weekend, 1-0. Their Japanese international scoring the goal. But yeah, boys, how are you feeling for this one? We're not going to go too in-depth with it as we're getting close to the hour on the show. But yeah, K-Dog, Blackburn are a team that, you know, established. They're actually a team I still remember being like in the Premier League. Like, you know, growing up, they were like the Premier League team. They had different like players who, you know, just remember Tugai and Morton got Pedersen. Who was the other striker? There's a striker, Martins as well. But yeah, they obviously have been in the championship for a long time now. They're actually now sort of replaced us as like the established sort of championship team that can't get out of this division. They went down to League One and now back in the championship. But yeah, your thoughts on this game, my friend?
Yeah, I echo the same thoughts as you. I remember them being, I remember that Barclaysman trade from Trent from last year. And I look at that era of the Premier League in the early to mid noughties. Yeah, they were a proper established Premier League side. I remember being quite a shock when they got relegated. They were also, sorry to sidetrack slightly, my favourite trivia answer, because for a long time the question was name four teams that have won the Premier League, and it was Arsenal, United, Chelsea and Blackburn before Leicester and Liverpool, Man City won it. So yeah, for a long time they were like my favourite little bit of knowledge, trivia. I think they've had a similar start to us, haven't they? They are a side that they're a bit of, well, those circling the drain championship sides. I think they've been down and about the bottom few of the table for quite a few seasons. Certainly the year that we got promoted, Smolik's goals single-handedly kept them in the division. But you know, you said we don't win there very often. I'd like to think that we'd be fairly confident going into to Saturday off the back of performance on Friday night. Obviously, big for Smolik to go back there. It's always a bit of extra edge for a player going back to a former club. Excuse me, especially when he did so well at, and he did leave on fairly good terms from them. So, yeah, I think we will win. I think, well, I hope we win. No, you know, yeah, I'm confident, quietly confident.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to come back to you, get your predictions. Andy Crackers Cracknell, just want to quickly bring up him. 4 out of 5, bad. I'll take that. Thank you. Yeah, very good on the strike there, Andy Crackers. I'll have to get you on the show one day, Andy, and maybe you can redo it live with the pressure of the lights and me presenting it instead of you just watching and just going, ooh, and stuff like that. But Callum, Blackburn Rovers, I'm sure you've done a bit more in-depth look at them for your bits and bobs you have to do. Thoughts on them? They've obviously made a lot of new signings. They've seen some big players go as well. Their captain is none other than Todd Cantwell of those up the road back in the day. So I'm sure he'll be a pattern mind villain in this game. But yeah, thoughts on them?
Yeah, it feels like if anyone's going to score for Blackburn this weekend, it'll probably be him, because that's just how it works. Like Kieran said, really, they've had a similar start, kind of patchy start, you could say. They've not been good at home, though. They've lost all three of their home games this season in all competitions. So I don't know whether the home crowd at Ewood Park might be on edge, perhaps. I don't know what the atmosphere will be like. So if that is the case, maybe we can feed onto that. But yeah, I'm certainly a lot more confident than I was a week off the back of last Friday, because it feels like we've really kind of hopefully kicked here now, and it's been a long time since we've won two games in a row. We haven't won two games in a row since our last two games in the championship when we went up. So that'd be nice to get that monkey off our backs, and hopefully go on a run. Because if you want to get promoted in this division, you've got to string 2, 3, 4 wins on the bounce a few times a season. So no better chance to do that than this Saturday.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, Sammy Smodox, I'm sure, will be well up for it. Obviously, it was good to see him. He was on the bench and he, of course, came off the bench. Did he come off the bench against Sheffield United? We're making it up.
Yes, he nearly scored.
Yes. Yes. Just a lot of things happened in that game. But yeah, no, he did nearly score, didn't he? But yeah, I'm sure he'll be up for, you know, returning to Ewood Park and maybe scoring, because I did put him down as the top goal scorer this year for Ipswich. And obviously at the moment he's sort of struggled because of the injury and other bits and bobs. But yeah, Kayla, what is your score prediction then, my friend?
So last time we played Blackburn, and this is, stands out in my mind for two reasons. One, it was my daughter's first ever football game. Second of all, it's the only time I've ever seen us concede three goals and win a goal to nil. Because they had a couple of very dubious disallowed goals. I like to think, I can go in 2-0. I think it'll be a solid performance. We're not going to, well, maybe we will. I can't, you don't win two games in a row 5-0. It doesn't really happen. Like 2-0, we're going to be comfortable performance. We'll look solid, keep a second clean sheet. I'll have Matt Palmer as my first goal scorer. And I think Smolic will come off the bench and score one against his former club.
Ooh, do you think he'll celebrate? I know that's always that controversial sort of question. Would he celebrate his former club?
No, I don't think he will. I think he'll be a very mooted. It'll be a very mooted. Not quite a hands down. It was just it'll be a hands up, very calm. Yeah. But, you know, I'd like to see him do what Amari did against Chelsea, which is like a four-on backflip, which is just...
doesn't salute. That's what he'll probably do. But we shall see. But yeah, Callum, what's your prediction, my friend? And get involved in that.
I would love to see Sammy Smodic do a backflip to celebrate a goal away back at Blackburn. If he does score, I don't think he'd celebrate. I think he's got a lot of respect for them, and they've got a lot of love still for him. So I don't think he would. I can see the game being similar to the 1-0 win that you referenced earlier, and for that reason, I'm going to go for a 1-0 town. I think. I'm feeling a lot more confident defensively. I'd love to see, you know, we've waited so long for Alex Palmer to get his first clean sheet for Town. I'd love to see him get two in a row. So, let's go 1-0. Let's go for a scrappy first half, and we kind of nick one to, not towards it, maybe midway through the second half, get a winner. And we'll go for George Hurst. He had a loan spell at Blackburn a few years ago. Was by all accounts it wasn't a great loan spell. Didn't start a lot of games and didn't get a lot of opportunities, and when he did, he failed to take them. So him back at Ewood Park with getting on the score sheet and getting the winner, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, because I think when we played Blackburn at the Portland Road game, he
scored in the home game.
Yeah, but I know he was like getting a few little pelters, and I think he obviously sort of, when he scored, he sort of celebrated that way, and yeah, it's sort of proving the doubt was wrong. So I'm sure he'll go to Ewood Park looking to get another goal. That would be good. My prediction, boys, I want to go for a Town win as well. So across the board, we're going for wins. I'm going to actually go what Andy's done. Andy Crackers Cracknell. I'm going to go 2-1. I think we'll just concede a goal. I think we're destined to concede goals away from home. But I think we'll be 2-0 up. K-Dog, like you've done. But I think we'll just score a stupid goal or something. But that will be fine. But yeah, 2-1. And first goal scorer, I like the idea of Akpom. I like to see him score a goal. But do you know what? I'm going to go with safe bet. I'm going to go with George Hurst as well to be the first goal scorer. So, we won't talk too much about the starting 11 because we want to sort of find out a bit more with Kieran McKenna. But we'll obviously on the flagship show discuss that. But Callum, you're unmuted yourself. Do you want to say anything, my friend?
I think I've just stayed unmuted from when I was speaking last time. I just back to back. Would be nice, wouldn't it? So, yeah, let's start climbing that table. Still in the bottom half, just about for now. So, first port of call is get ourselves in the top half, and then slowly start climbing the table. Hopefully,
yes, my friend, love that indeed. Well, boys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me, K-Dog. Any other business, my friend? Anything else you want to mention?
No other business.
All right. Just bluntly, I said, no other business. Callum, anything else for you?
Equally as boring. No other business from me. I think I've touched on everything that we wanted to talk about. So, yeah, no other business.
Oh, top men. Love that. Thanks so much for joining me, K-Dog. And Callum, good evening, Colin. You're a bit late. We're about to end. But thanks for seeing you, my friend. And, make sure to listen to the show. If you're just joining us live, this will go out as a podcast. And if you actually listen to this, as a podcast already, hope you've enjoyed the show as well. And Josh Blake, just to finish up, in the last championship season, it felt like we'd always equalise if going behind early. This season, an early goal seems vital to prevent a defensive block. Very true, Josh. So, yes, thanks for listening to another Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Kawayamas share their thoughts on all things town. Hope you enjoy Blackburn if you're going, but if not, for the courage of us, we'll be there. And obviously, there'll be a flagship show looking ahead to the game later in the week. But before I ruin this outro, I'm just going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening and see you next time. Bye-bye for now.